common sense commentary on politics, culture, and current events. If it's on your mind, it's In the News. And now, In the News, with your host, Mike Dakak.
So it seems as though we no longer have to worry about the coronavirus, which is a relief, I guess. You know, one of the most absurd things I've ever heard of is when 1,200 health professionals and other community leaders got together last week and said the coronavirus is not going to spread in mass gatherings as long as the mass gatherings are for BLM, for Black Lives Matter. I mean, is this how stupid? The answer to that question is yes, sadly. This is how stupid they think we are. Apparently, the coronavirus knows the difference between a person who is going to church, let's say, or a person who's going to school, and a person who's protesting. And it infects the person who is going to church and leaves the person who was protesting alone. This letter states that we're not going to condemn these gatherings as risky for COVID-19 transmission. We support them as vital to the national public health. I'm not exactly sure how these protests are vital to the national public health, but that's how the letter states. However, they demand this flexibility apply only to protests that are organized by one race against another, specifically Black against white. No, I'm not kidding. The letter says a public health response to these demonstrations, they're talking about the BLM demonstrations, is warranted, but this message must be wholly different, they say, from the response to white protesters resisting stay-at-home orders. It should not be confused, they go on to say, with a permissive stance on all gatherings, particularly protests against stay-at-home orders. Those actions not only oppose public health interventions, but are also rooted in white nationalism and run contrary to respect for Black lives. I am neither white nor a white nationalist, but I am diametrically opposed to this coronavirus lockdown. And I do not view that as being contrary to respect for Black life. Folks, the globalists are coming for all of us. It doesn't matter if you're white. It doesn't matter if you're Black. They only support your cause if it advances their agenda. And their agenda is to do away with all of us. You read a letter like this and you wonder, is there any other evidence needed that there is an agenda? I mean, where has the rationale for social distancing gone? Where is Dr. Fauci? Where is Dr. Birx? Where have they been? Where are all the governors who for weeks told us we had to stay home because we were stronger together and we'll get through this, and philharmonics playing concerts through their windows and from their balconies, and it's not for you, it's for us, with the picture of the doctors and the nurses in garbage bags holding up signs. Well, it's not for them anymore? We don't have to care about doctors and nurses anymore? What was the point of any of this? You know, they don't understand that with every one of these actions, more and more people are waking up. Sure, there are plenty of people who are still asleep and blissfully so, but the ratio of people who wake up to the people who remain asleep has gotten ever so smaller with every one of these actions by the globalists. You know, another surprising thing that took place last week was the jobs report from last week. And the economy was shown to have added 2.5 million jobs. I'm not necessarily sure that that number is to be taken at 100% face value and is to be believed. I've asked around. Most people feel it's accurate. Maybe I'm being overly suspicious, but even if the economy didn't add 2.5 jobs, let's say it added just 2 million. Let's say it added 1 million. Let's say it didn't add any. Just the fact that we're no longer losing jobs is a giant step in a positive direction. I mean, the economy could have been much, much worse. It could have been in much, much worse shape. It's not cratering anymore. And that's thanks to free-thinking people. People realized very early on that this wasn't everything it was cracked up to be, and they worked accordingly. Here's why that's important. Here's why that matters to you and I. Once again, it shows the power of the people. I was one of those people who believed the economy was going to tank even further because that's what the goal was. But this really shows the collective wisdom of patriots, people from all over the country, all stripes, all colors. Even people who aren't politically inclined, they just know nonsense when they hear it, And they're saying to themselves, listen, enough with the lies, enough with the fear mongering that takes place constantly, enough with trying to bring the country down from within. You know, there's a nurse in New York City. She's an Iraqi war vet. And she came to New York City. She's not from New York City, but came to New York City to work in New York City hospitals when the pandemic, the coronavirus pandemic, came to our shores. New York City, of course, as you may or may not know, as you well know probably, is the epicenter of the coronavirus outbreak in the United States. Well, not only does this nurse, bless her heart, come to New York to work in these hospitals, but she's working at Elmhurst Hospital in Queens, New York, which is one of the outer boroughs to Manhattan. And if New York City is the epicenter of the outbreak in the United States, Queens is the epicenter of the outbreak in New York City, and Elmhurst Hospital is the epicenter of the outbreak in Queens. So, I mean, this girl, again, bless her heart, it signed up for the toughest assignment probably in the entire country at this point. Well, she sits down for an interview with an independent news presenter. The video is on YouTube. We'll see how long it's on there. But I have the video on my site as well. Please go there and check it out. She talks about how this hospital that she's working at is housing COVID patients with non-COVID. First of all, she talks about patients, and she takes a video recorder into work with her, and she's videotaping her work, and she's showing us all this on the computer screen, on the hospital system, on their computers, and she's showing us conversations she's having with other nurses to corroborate everything that she's claiming. And so patients come into this hospital, they're COVID negative, they're tested, and they're COVID negative, but they're being listed in the hospital system as COVID positive for some reason. That's one thing. The other thing is that people are, COVID negative patients are coming in to have procedures done that are not COVID related, but they're being dormed with COVID positive patients in the hopes, she says, that they contract the disease. She says they have dentists working on the floors, residents who, in her words, have no idea what they're doing. Unfortunately, residents are kind of medical students still, basically. And in one particular exchange, she's talking to another nurse, and all the other nurses are sharing in her, you know, kind of disdain for what's happening. And in one particular exchange, she's talking to another nurse. She says, you know, I have a stroke victim who came in. He's over in room 29, she says. He came in with a stroke, and now he's on a ventilator, and he's COVID positive. And the nurse she's talking to kind of reacts disgustingly and says, yeah, well, that's because we gave it to him here. He got it from being here. There's a scientist from Norway who, along with his team, found that some gene sequences of the coronavirus, of COVID-19, were man-made. They couldn't have occurred naturally, his findings say. That's not news. We've been reporting that for the last several months. But Forbes.com publishes this article. It was by a Forbes reporter. It gets attention, apparently. It gets a lot of links and a lot of readers. The day after they publish it, they pull the article and they superimpose an error message over the article. I have screenshots of all this. You can go onto the site and check out the article that I wrote about it. They superimpose an error message on top of the article that says this page is no longer active. The next day after that, they change the title of the article to "Controversial Coronavirus Lab Origin Claims Dismissed by Experts." And they have this kind of lengthy disclaimer right before, right above the body of the paragraph that reads in part, "This article has been substantially updated to reflect criticism of the published study," talking about the Norwegian study that says the COVID-19 is man-made, "along with the general scientific consensus on COVID-19. So they completely changed it to become an anti-conspiracy theorist article. I mean, even if you are the most blithely ignorant person, this should make your eyebrows rise. You know, it's tempting to think that all of this, this nonsense around the coronavirus and this all the scandals and the controversy around the protests and the riots, that all this just sprung up. But this has been decades in the making, folks. Back in the 1970s, the Weather Underground movement was born. They were responsible for dozens and dozens of terrorist attacks all over the country. They were communists. Their goal was to turn the country communist. And that's not a slur, and it's not an epithet, and it's not a dismissal. That was their self-described goal. They called for the destruction, and I'm reading directly from their literature here, the destruction of U.S. imperialism, and for the forming of a classless communist world. Well, the FBI and other federal agencies, other law enforcement agencies, kind of put an end to them. Many members of the Weather Underground left the country. They kind of went out of business, but they never really went out of business. They never stopped operations completely. They just stopped being so overt. Their methods became ever so more so imperceptible. Well, they left behind a manifesto, if you want to call it that, and it's called the Prairie Fire. And it's basically instructions about how they were going to go about bringing down the United States of America. They talked about a lot of different ways to do it. It's a 180-page document. It's a very interesting read. Not interesting in a positive way, but interesting in that all the dots begin to connect as you're reading this literature. They talk about tactics, what they're going to do, how they're going to do it. The role of the clandestine organization, they say, is to build the, quote, consciousness of action and prepare the way for the development of a people's militia, sowing seeds, in other words, for action. Action against what? Action against the state. And the development of a people's militia. So they want to do away with police forces, and they want people to, quote, unquote, police themselves, a people's militia. And the way they were going to do this, their weapon of choice, was going to be systemic racism and police racism. So hostilities, racial hostilities in the country, and hostility towards police. They were going to engage with similar movements all across the world, get people from all other countries in the world to join in these protests and take part in this movement. They were going to make it a global movement. And they were going to remove God from the public's consciousness. Does any of this sound familiar? In 1961, the U.S. government put out a plan called the Program for General and Complete Disarmament in a Peaceful World. It called for the complete disarmament of the United States and all countries in the world. So militaries were going to be disarmed, and internal security forces, police forces, were going to be disarmed as well. Instead, the United Nations, UN peacekeepers, would be brought in to take control of security in countries. This can only be achieved, the document read, through the progressive strengthening of international institutions under the United Nations. In other words, a one-world government. This week, attorneys for George Floyd, the man who was killed in Minneapolis, called on the United Nations to come in and, in essence, take over U.S. police forces. They wanted them to effect policy changes and institute review and oversight of U.S. police forces. You think they thought of that on their own? That's not them talking. That's the globalists talking. And you know that because Americans don't think that way. Only globalists think that way. This has all been in the works for years, folks. And I don't necessarily mean the killing of George Floyd specifically. But what they do is they set the conditions. They set the kindling. And when the fire starts, they fan the flames quickly and as high as possible. And they use it then as an excuse to advance their agenda, one item at a time. It turns out, speaking of George Floyd, that George Floyd and Officer Chauvin, the man that killed him, they knew each other. They had history. They were working together at the same club. Chauvin was working at that club for 17 years. It's unclear when George Floyd came on board, but they knew each other for at least months. This is according to another coworker. And they had hostility. There was hostility between the two men for a significant period before this. It wasn't random. That doesn't make it any better, but it does provide context. This wasn't a random act of police brutality or a random act of racism. There was context there. There was history. It was personal. But this is how they're going to go about doing all this. This is how they spread corruption throughout the land. You know, I was struck several weeks ago by this video that I saw online. And it was by a public health official in Canada. And this public health official was giving advice to young adults, teenage years, think high school years, on how to resist their parents or any adult in their family. that wants to talk some sense into them about the coronavirus. And, you know, they didn't frame it that way. They didn't say want to talk some sense into it, but that's what it is. And you can substitute any other subject for a coronavirus. So, for example, you know, if you wanted to tell your children that the coronavirus is not as serious as they're making it out to be, you know, this took place at the height of the coronavirus epidemic or the height of the coronavirus panic. So they were speaking specifically about the coronavirus. But as I say, you can substitute any subject for it. But in this specific video, they're talking about the coronavirus. And so, for example, if you wanted to tell your children it's not as serious as they're making it out to be, you know, public health officials, or it's not imperative to social distance, or the surveillance state is being erected with the help of social media, or you shouldn't be brainwashed by what you're hearing, it teaches these young adults how to argue with the adults in their lives. And it says, you know, these things that you're trying to tell me, this is hurtful, and this is misinformation, and you shouldn't be spreading this type of stuff, and you shouldn't be aiding the spread of this type of misinformation. Really, though, it's teaching them how to distrust their families. That's what the point of the video was. You know, Tucker Carlson, and I haven't been a fan of Tucker Carlson at all up until now. But you know, he's gotten it 100% right on most of the issues that have happened in over the last several months, coronavirus and these protests. He said last week, the first thing globalists do to brainwash people is attack the family. The first thing they do is try to separate young adults from the people that truly care about them, because once you do that, it's much easier to manipulate them. And who are they going to trust in their family's stead, these young people? There are no vacuums, folks, as Tucker Carlson also said this week. Someone or something always steps in to fill the void. And so who are these people going to trust instead of their families? Well, the globalists, CNN, apparently. This is a perilous time, folks, and our enemies have us surrounded. They're coming at us from every angle, socially, financially, politically, medically, and they're relentless. We've got to learn to be just as relentless as they are. I mean, disbanding police force is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. There's a one of the hosts on CNN is interviewing an advocate for these policies. And she's, you know, the host listens to this person present her argument and give her a spiel kind of thing. And she says, okay, you know, all right, this is all very well and good, but I just have a basic question. What if it's the middle of the night, 1 o'clock in the morning, and someone breaks into my home? If the police force in my city or town or state has been disbanded, who do I call? And the woman didn't have an answer. Instead, she kind of attacked the host ever so subtly. She said, well, that question is coming from a place of privilege. I mean, but folks, the reporter was incredulous at the end. I mean, if you're to the left of CNN hosts on social issues, it's time to stop and reevaluate. But please don't underestimate their willingness to do things like this. They know full well that police departments are not going to be disbanded or disfunded this year. That's not the goal. This is a seed that's being planted. And it's not smart to turn a blind eye to removing police forces. That may be a mistake as well. You know, it's tempting to say, well, you know, whatever blue cities want to do and whatever blue states want to do, let them do it. We're happy and we're safe here in our state, and that nonsense is not going to come here. Well, chaos is not going to respect the borders of blue cities. It's going to start there. And the people that they're so adamant in their protection of, they're going to be the first people to be affected by these globalist policies. But that chaos is going to spread. They've been fighting this fight for 60, 70 years. They'll fight it for another 70. As my mom likes to say, some people are content to dig pits with needles. It'll take as long as it's going to take. You don't concentrate on today's goals. Don't look under your feet, as my uncle likes to say. Look down the road. And we also have to learn to operate outside of the system, or better yet, create our own alternative system. Social media platforms, tech platforms, banks, laboratories, hospitals, financial platforms, and most importantly, news platforms. Remember, they are the few, we are the many. They only know how to work in darkness, and we're the ones working in the light. They're removing statues in the middle of the night. Why not do it in broad daylight if the truth is on your side? Because it isn't on their side. There was a judge this week that stopped the removal of a Robert E. Lee statue in Virginia. Several statues of Columbus have been torn down or vandalized. and thrown into rivers and what have you. Decapitated one was, I saw on the news. I mean, you can agree or disagree with these things, but there's a threat that's beyond this. They're just using these things as excuses. And that's why they have to hide while they act. That's why they have to stab you in the back, and they have to get people to fight and kill each other. They never fight you to your face. But you see, that same characteristic is going to be their downfall, ultimately, because that shows that they're cowards. And if we're brave and we fight the good fight, we'll prevail. Well, that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. If you have any comments on any of the issues we discussed, drop me a line. You can reach me at comments@itnshow.com. That's comments@itnshow.com. And thanks again for listening, everyone. Until next time, take care of yourselves.
If it's on your mind, it's in the news. Subscribe to In the News on both iTunes and on Stitcher Radio. This has been In the News.